This is VSiN Prime Time, live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Tonight might be the final night of the hockey season. We're going to find out in a few hours. Game 6 of the Stanley Cup Final. Puck drop is about 20 minutes away in South Florida. Will Hill, Matt Youmans here on VSiN Primetime. We've had a couple of great guests to tee it up tonight. Will, Chris the Bear Felica of Fox Sports, Chuck Esposito, the Red Rock Sportsbook Director, both talking extensively about this hockey game tonight. It feels like Chuck and the Bear both sense that this is going to be it. The Panthers are going to close out the Oilers and go back-to-back. You got that sense from those two guys, but you're hoping that's not the case, right?
Yeah, and I'm good. I have the same sense they do, but just from a number standpoint, when you're starting to talk like $1.60 or so, man, this is the cheapest you're getting the Oilers. You're buying at a discount here. So we always talk about buy low, sell high, get teams when nobody else wants them. That's where the value comes from. If you're a value bettor and you believe the Oilers and McDavid can just have one of these nights, he's due for one of these nights where he can just put up 4 points and carry them to victory. Maybe a bite here on the plus $1.40, $1.50 in that range. I don't have the screen in front of me, know what the best price is, but it's getting tempting. If I had nothing and I got Oilers in 7 at a nice price, so I don't know how nice it is now, but so I'm invested in the Oilers anyway. But if I didn't, I'd probably make a small bet on the Oilers just based on the number, even though, you know what, if you told me 50-50, even odds, coin flip, I'd probably pick Florida to win. But based on the value, I see people why they take a chance here on the Oilers. So should be fun. Always like to see a game 7 unless it hurts one of my bets, which in this situation it doesn't. It would help one of my bets. So I don't know. It'd be fun to sit here on a Friday night in a couple of nights here and talk about a game 7 for the second straight year of the NHL Stanley Cup. So we'll see how it plays out. But boy, Chuck put it well. These teams are betting like they know the final score, like they got tomorrow's newspaper.
19 minutes away from the puck drop on TNT. And right here, I'm looking at the DraftKings screen. Overnight, it was minus 142. Bet up as high as 175. And right now, minus 166. Take back on the Oilers, plus 140. I think an interesting topic of discussion here is the total, too. At DraftKings, 6.5. It's shaded under minus 125. At South Point, you're seeing 6 over 120. You're seeing a mix of 6 and 6.5 on the screen. Will, you've asked Chuck and the Bear both about the total. And don't you think this is a tricky bet tonight with the possibility of empty and, you know, an extended empty net situation in the third period?
Yeah, absolutely. This is one of those situations where if you bet it and you lose, you're going to feel like an idiot. Because if you go under and you're going to be contrarian, so why the hell did I bet under? They go over every game. A lot of these games have gone comfortably over, even though the last one was a bad beat. I overthought it. That being said, if you bet over and it loses, you think, you know what, this is such a square bet. Now, elimination game, maybe the teams are a little tight. Max intensity on defense. They're kind of due for a lower scoring game. So I actually tend to lean towards an under, as crazy as that sounds, just because it is an elimination game. Probably not that Florida hasn't been in this situation before, not that they're going to be tight, but you got to figure this is all out max intensity effort from the Oilers. Last game, it was 2-0 in the third. So if I had to bet it, which I haven't, I would bet the under. But again, this is just one where if you bet it and you lose, you're going to feel like an idiot and feel like you forced it one way or another, I think.
Yeah, maybe the live total will be a better way to play it. So we're going to talk about the live betting aspect throughout the game tonight. 7-9, 7-9, 7. That's the total goal scored in the first five games. 7-9, 7-9, 7 would tell you 9 tonight, but if you follow that trend. I did not play the total. I got a small bet here on the Panthers, minus 142. Still have that Oilers bet out there, but I've got two Panthers winners throughout this series. And, well, you know, I asked a question to Chuck Esposito. I think it's a hard thing to explain. But the Panthers outscored the Oilers 11-4 in the first periods during this series, 7-0 in the first period in the past three games. You wouldn't think a team with Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl would get drubbed like that in the first period in this series. Is there any way that you could explain something like that? You just think it's also a combination of, hey, the Panthers got the better goaltender and Bob, and they got the better defensive team.
Probably that, probably a little bit of, you know what, it's hockey, bounce of the puck sometimes. There's some randomness involved, but It's probably a lot of what you mentioned, but it's one of those things where it's scary here. If you're, if you're betting the Oilers, that first 5-10 minutes, you don't want to be in a 1-0, 1-0, 2-0 hole right away. I think it's always important in a game where even in a high scoring game, you're going to get the winner having, four goals or whatever. Goals are so precious, but scoring first, always important. But I think with the cup in the building tonight, you don't want to be down 1-0 with that building going crazy. Very important to score first here if you're the Oilers.
Well, the last time we watched these teams in Game 4 in South Florida, Panthers led 3-0 after the first period. We thought the Oilers were dead. They came back from the dead, won the game in overtime, and then came out flat in Game 5. Like Chuck Esposito said, really surprising that the Oilers on their home ice in Game 5 with everything at stake came out flat on Saturday night and lost that game 5-2. Let's throw up that tweet from Chris DeBear Felica one more time, because you asked that question to DeBear and to Chuck. Which way do you lean here on who should be the Conn Smythe winner? This is the Bears tweet from earlier today. The series obviously isn't over, but I don't know why Brad Marchand isn't a favorite to win the Conn Smythe. Yes, Sam Bennett has 15 goals. That's obviously great. However, Marchand has scored the two biggest goals of the playoffs for Florida. Will, where do you stand here on that?
It's a great question. I understand both sides of the case. It's just hard to get in the heads of the voters, because what do they value? I mean, you could ask 10 different people and, maybe five say one, five say the other. So if you think that way, you probably take the plus 260 on Marchand. What do you value? The quantity of goals or the importance of the goals that Marchand has scored? The cop-out would be to say what depends what happens tonight. But let's just say, they either both score tonight or neither scores tonight. Who does it go to? I, as far as betting, I'd probably just take the plus 20 with Marchand. So I think it's a coin toss. So, I don't know. Do you think that market is correct? I don't know that the plus 260 is enough for me to bet it, but I wouldn't be laying the odds on with the case Marchand has. I guess I'll put it that way.
Well, I think Bear mentioned earlier today was $4, right? You got plus 400 in that neighborhood. That would have been the point to bet it, not a plus 260. Yeah. After the market moved today, I can certainly understand why Sam Bennett with 15 goals is minus 120. It's going to be, I think, hard for Marchand to take that away from him, but it does seem like closer to a coin flip than anything. All right, so we're, about 14 minutes away from the puck drop in South Florida. Let's get to baseball, because, Will, we got to vent some frustrations here about the Yankees. I'm so tired of watching this team right now. Yankees still scoreless tonight. They went into tonight on a four-game losing streak, had scored a total of 4 runs in those games. We're scoreless in 20 straight innings going into tonight. Let's make it 23, because we're in the top of the fourth. Angels up 3-0 on the Yankees. How can you not hit Kyle Hendricks?
I don't know, but they're figuring out a way to do it. This is just a nasty slump, and we were just talking earlier. You know what? It's Major League Baseball, 162-game season. You're going to have weeks where good teams look bad. Remember, the Angels were red hot a month or so ago, and, mm-hmm. and bad teams look really good. And look, the Rockies swept the team. The Rockies are a force right now. They've won a bunch of games recently. So weird things happen. The thing that's hard to excuse, and look, Grisham's come back down to earth. Rice hasn't hit. Judge, hit the homer against Boston, but didn't do much else. Didn't do anything else. Just struck out a bunch of times. He's due to cool off a little bit. The thing that drives you crazy, though, is the lack of fundamentals, because it's not just this year. It's not just this week. It's been forever with Boone. Bad base running, bad defense, can't get a bunt down, get picked off, stealing third with nobody out. Just things you wouldn't do in a little league game, a JV high school game, things that would get you, screamed at or on the bench. There's just no respect for the game, the fundamentals of the game, how to play it properly. That's what drives you crazy. The hits will come and go. I mean, they've swung the bats pretty well all in all this season. Maybe they're regressing to the mean somewhat with some of these guys overachieving, and the truth is probably somewhere in the middle. But very frustrating here to watch this Yankee team and the loss they had on Monday night. That's the loss. That's the worst regular season they've had in a long time. Man on second, nobody out, leadoff double, scoreless game. Jazz Chisholm up, strike one, strike two, strike three, completely unproductive. Same thing in the 10th with Flamehu. And then in the 11th, two on, nobody out in the 10th and 11th because of the ghost runner. No runs. I mean, you get the ghost runner in the 10th and the 11th, he can't score. The same thing happened Friday night. Ghost runner can't score. Just bad situational baseball for the Yankee team. And I actually saw this line this morning, the updated season win total. Before I say what I like, what would you guess their season win total over under was coming into tonight?
Yankees season win total, I would say right around 92.5.
96.5 at FanDuel.
That's too high. That's too high.
Too high, right?
Yep. Yeah. You got to play that under. Did you bet it under?
I did.
That's I think that's a smart play. I really think if they finish 92-70, that's a great result from where they are right now. Yankees trailing 3-0, bottom of the fourth, and Giancarlo Stanton at the plate. How about the Boston Red Sox, who just swept the Yankees? They're on the West Coast tonight to play Seattle. And we thought the Red Sox were in a poor situational spot last night. Well, they trade Rafael Devers, who, by the way, was announced or introduced today in San Francisco. Everybody seemed very happy to have Rafi Devers in San Francisco. Red Sox sweep the Yankees. They go to the West Coast, open a series against the Mariners. You think there's probably an emotional letdown from the Devers deal, but the Red Sox win last night. So they defy that seemingly negative situational spot, win 2-0 in Seattle. Walker Buehler goes tonight against Brandon Wu. Seattle minus 165, total of 7. What's your quick handicap on Red Sox Mariners tonight in Seattle?
If anything, it'd be the first five under. Wu's been really good at home throughout his career. Buehler better last time out. And these Mariners bats, have not been great for the most part. So that might be a smart bet. If you want to make smarter bets this football season, start with VSiN Pro. For a limited time, grab our football special at the early bird rate of just $175, giving you full access from now to the Super Bowl. That includes our NFL betting guide, the ultimate playbook with team breakdowns, power rating, and season-long bets. You'll also get a daily best bet email from our host and guest, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, live and on-demand shows via the VSiN Watch app, deep analytics, and betting tools at VSiN.com. Don't miss out. VSiN.com/subscribe. Early bird special. Can't beat it. We'll be back.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
What a tease, Will Hill. Paul Goldschmidt with a high drive to left field. Looks like it's going to be in the seats. Caught at the warning track. The Yankees still shut out tonight. 3-0 Angels, two outs, bottom of the fourth. Scott Seidenberg, who hosts this show a couple times a week. If you follow him at Scott's On Air, he just tweeted, quote, "The Yankees may never score again." I don't know if he was trying to reverse jinx the Yankees and hoping they would score after he tweeted that, but it looked like Paul Goldschmidt was going to put the Yankees on the board, and will they come up short again?
Yeah, I've noticed that a lot. There's been a lot made of the balls the past week or so about they're not caring as much, and as you know, who knows how much that's true. And you see, watch certain games and the ball just flies out. But I have noticed a few of the balls. I mentioned the Bellinger ball on Monday night, I thought was, good 10, 15 rows deep. The way the camera shot it just off the bat, the reaction, everything. And it died at the track. This one dies at the track or right around the track. So these balls have been dying a little bit more on the track. I noticed Soto hit one the other night. I thought was gone. That wasn't. So maybe there is something to the fact that the balls are just not wired the same way, laced the same way, and not carrying the same here, which, something to keep an eye on, especially if you're betting these totals here. But, with the Yankees not scoring, it reminds me of a Bob Uecker line in Major League or Major League Two, I think it was, where Willie Mays Hayes gets on first base. Their team's not playing well. They're not scoring. He steals second. He goes, "Willie Mays Hayes steals second." I'm surprised he still remembered where it was. So if the Yankees are able to score here, we'll see if they can remember where second, third home plate are, because it's been a while since they touched home plate.
I believe Giancarlo Stanton hit a leadoff single and two outs, and he's still standing on first. So the Yankees having a lot of trouble moving base runners around. We talked about the Red Sox just briefly before the break. I want to hit on that again because that's one of the better late-night games. Buehler and Wu in Seattle. Mariners minus 157 here at Circa, total of 7. How surprised were you by the Rafael Devers trade, and did you think the Red Sox were in a bet-against spot last night in their first game on the road on the West Coast after dealing Devers?
Yeah, luckily it was one where Gilbert first start back. I don't like betting on pitchers on their first start back, so mm-hmm. I stayed away from it. The price was expensive. And Gilbert actually pitched pretty well. I think I saw he faced 16 guys and struck out 8 of them, so not much rust with him, but didn't end up pulling the trigger. But I agree with your handicap of the game. To answer your first question, is looks like Wells strikes out and the Yankees go scoreless again here in the fourth.
Yep.
Not sure if that's a replay here. It's hard to tell now.
No, he struck out. He struck out. End of the fourth.
Of course he did. I was shocked by the Devers trade. Thinking it through and just backtracking, you probably shouldn't be. They have a cluster in the infield, they have these young players. He's got a bad attitude. He makes a lot of money. He doesn't want to play certain positions, kind of a prima donna. So, and bad defensive player. So there's a lot of reasons that make sense for a trade, but A, it came out of nowhere. And there's I think there's a saying, and it applied to the Desmond Bane trade in the NBA too. Real trades move in silence. You hear a lot of rumor trades and rumor this trades. A lot of the trades that happen, you never hear about until they actually come to fruition. This was a perfect example. Hadn't really heard any rumors of Devers getting traded. If you want to make the case to trade him, bad guy, bad locker room, all this stuff, okay, I'll buy it. You can't sell me on the return, at least not now. I mean, again, we'll see how these prospects play out. They got the 13th pick in the draft from a couple years ago, I think this past draft. Harrison, Hicks, live arms, but we'll see. You got to get more back. Devers is a top five, top 10 offensive player. It's a league where nobody can hit, nobody can score. I actually don't think he's going to put up the same numbers in San Francisco, which is a premier pitcher's park as opposed to Fenway, which has got that short little monster and left, the pesky pole. I mean, that's a hitter's paradise. So his numbers are going to take a hit, but he can hit anywhere. He's going to change their lineup. I was shocked. And when you couple the Devers trade with the Mookie Betts trade 5 years ago or so, boy, it doesn't look like they got a lot back. If you're a Red Sox fan, it's hard to be happy with the return with Devers and a couple bets in there.
Well, it's just Boston ownership. I was shocked, absolutely shocked, yeah, as I ever have been about a trade when the Red Sox shipped Mookie Betts to L.A. I could not believe that. That's a franchise player. You never send a guy like Mookie Betts. You never ship him out. And the Red Sox did that. So I said, okay, that means everyone's expendable. That'd be like the Yankees trading Aaron Judge, Will. You're not going to do it. How did the Red Sox trade Mookie Betts? So after that, nothing really surprised me with this Red Sox ownership. Devers is not the player Mookie Betts was, not an MVP like Betts. By the way, Yankees now plus 254 on the live number at DraftKings. Angels up 3-0. One out here, top of the fifth. Yankees close minus 225. It is now Angels minus 355. Yankees plus 254. Good luck with that. Not going to play the Yankees at that plus price. They might come back and win, Will, but I can't bet them when they can't score a run. Like Scott Seidenberg said, they may never score again. Eventually, they're going to score. I don't know if it's going to be tonight. If you can't hit Kyle Hendricks through four innings, when are you going to hit somebody?
That plus 254, is that for them to win the game or is that for them to score a run?
The game, actually. You could take Yankees, but you could take Yankees plus 2.5. They're down 3-0, plus 2.5 at minus 155. You want that?
Not at the 155. Yeah, at the 2.5, I started to go, if it was, you know, minus 110, minus 120, then maybe. I'm not laying $1.55. So, you know, you can talk to different bettors. They have different philosophies about betting on a streak or against the streak, but the way this Yankee team is going, this is just a nasty funk. They're all slumping. They're all slumping at the wrong time. You know, Grisham has come back to life. Judge can't do it every night. You can't kill him. You know, Rice hasn't hit in a while. They're not hitting. They got some dead spots in the lineup. They need one more bat. I think this is showing Brian Cashman. They probably need one more bat. The LeMahieu at-bats need to go and need to be replaced by a legitimate major league player. He's had a nice career. He's had some moments this year, but he's dead weight at this point. And these other guys are slumping. So, long season, these slumps happen, but this is a pretty nasty one. Kyle Hendricks, you would think, would be the antidote, would be the guy to get you out of it and get you back on track, but he is carving them up right now, scoreless into the fifth, so going from bad to worse here for the Yanks.
All right, we're about to have the puck drop. We'll get back to baseball here in a couple minutes. I want to get more of your thoughts about the Red Sox. Looking at the market here a couple minutes before we get underway here at Circa, back to Florida minus 164. So not much movement at all there. High in the market is minus 175 on the Panthers. That's at Caesars and Will Hill. Total of 6 or 6.5 out there. And we are now underway just like that in Sunrise, Florida. And Will, I know you're hoping the Oilers keep it alive tonight and force a game 7. You and I would be here Friday night talking about a game 7, which would be okay. But you're probably not that optimistic about the Oilers, right? You just you talked about it in a price perspective. Do you play the dog here at a plus 140, 145 price or so when it seems like nobody wants the underdog tonight?
If you bet the Oilers, you know, you probably have the right idea just in terms of sports betting, of being contrarian, buying low. If you bet the Oilers and you lose, if I came on here and said, you know who I like the Oilers tonight, and they lose 5-1, I look like an idiot. They've been outplayed most of the series. There's no reason to bet them. Everyone's betting the Panthers, but that's not the worst approach to be contrarian. But look, Florida's up 3-2 in the series, and the two losses, they led 3-0 and they led 3-1. So they've really been the better team for the majority of this series. So I think from a value perspective, it's there with the Oilers. But look, the thing about these money lines and the value on the money lines, it's you could on paper have the value, but you got to actually bet to get the bet home and win. It's not like football or basketball where there's value you can cover with the point spread. You got to actually win the game with these money lines in baseball and the NHL. So we'll see if the Oilers can give us some excitement. What, on a scale of 1 to 10, how surprised would you be if the Oilers win and we get a game 7?
Scale of 1 to 10, probably about a 7. How about that? I'd be pretty surprised. I just think I agree with what the Bear said when Chris Felica was on with us in the first hour. The Panthers have been clearly the better team throughout this series. Oilers have had a couple spurts. But again, you look at the trends. Florida outscores Edmonton 11-4 in the first period, 7-0 in the first period in the past 3 games. Got the better defensive team, the better goalie in Bobrovsky. You got Matthew Tkachuk, Brad Marchand, who have and Sam Bennett, who have been clutch throughout the series. Oilers have at times been flat, which is odd. It's hard to explain how a team with so much at stake could come out flat in a game 5 at home and lose 5-2. I think when you add it all up, I would be really surprised if the Panthers don't close it out tonight. So I would say on a scale of 1 to 10, about a 7. But again, when you got Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl on the other side, that's why you leave a little bit of room for error, right? Because it's not going to absolutely stun you if those guys put up a couple goals tonight and the Oilers win this game 3-2. So that's just the way hockey, you know, the luck and the way the puck bounces too. Is kind of intangible, and you never quite know how that's going to work out. Connor McDavid might have the game of his life tonight. Who knows? In terms of you know, his signature moment in the postseason. You always wonder when a great player like that, Will, is going to have that unforgettable game, that performance where he has maybe a hat trick or 2 goals and keeps the Oilers alive and forces a game 7 at home. That's what you want to see, right? Don't you want to see something like that from a player like McDavid tonight?
Absolutely. It reminds me, LeBron James had never won a title. I think it was the 2012 season. They were down 3-2 in the conference finals against the Celtics. Everyone was, you know, choker, can't get it done. He put up one of the better games anyone's ever played. They won game 6. They won game 7. They won the title. So the higher seed, the higher seed being down 3-2 on the road trying to force a game 7 is always a fascinating scenario.
All right, VSIN fans, how would you like to play the Circa Survivor or Circa Million contest for free this season? Sounds like a good deal. Winner's Circle Proxy is giving away one free $1,000 entry to each contest, plus full proxy service. Enter now for your chance to win. Visit winnerscircleproxy.com/VSIN. Again, that's winnerscircleproxy.com/VSIN.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
All right, before we get to Mr. Golf, Matt Grill, we're going to go to Mr. Hockey, Will Hill. And Will, give us an update on what's happened. It looks like the Florida Panthers are on the board. Who scored the goal?
Looks like it was Reinhart, I think. Let me check the box score. But if you thought the plus 140 or so was value on the Oilers, well, I got good news for you. You can now get plus 220, plus 230 in that range. So the Panthers strike first, 1-0. We are still not even 5 minutes into this first period. The Panthers taking a 1-0 lead. The Oilers' first period struggles continue here, Matt.
Panthers have scored first in 5 straight games, and we talked about this multiple times before the puck drop tonight. The Panthers outscored the Oilers 11-4 in first periods in this series, now 12-4, and now 8-0 in the first period in the past 4 games. How about that? Fast starts for Florida in the Stanley Cup Final. All right, let's go out to the Progressive guest line and dial up Matt Grill, odds maker at DraftKings Sportsbook. And Grill, great to have you on tonight. I know you're at the office out there off 215 in Summerlin. What are you watching? You're watching hockey? You're watching college baseball? Or you're watching soccer?
Hey, Matt. Hey, Will. Yeah, you guys mentioned it. Got all three up right now. The College World Series up with Arkansas taking on UCLA. And we've got the World Club Cup up for some of the soccer lovers up there. And I'll tell you what, you should soak it all in now, because about a week from now, it's going to be a lot more boring. The finals are going to be over. The Stanley Cup's going to be over. College World Series be over. We'll just be like some baseball, a little bit of soccer. So in that point, can really gear up for football season. I think that'll be a lot of people's minds come this time next week.
Yeah, that's you don't have to tell us about that, Mac Rowe. We host a four-hour show, and we're very, very aware of all the content and all the time we have to fill next week when this stuff's over. We're fortunate we got a Stanley Cup final that's going to six games tonight, and an NBA finals going to six games on Thursday night. Mac Rowe, odds maker at DraftKings, focuses on golf and college football. We'll talk a little college football here later. First of all, I know you had Sam Burns in the U.S. Open, and it looked like Burnsy was going to get there, I would say midday Sunday afternoon. Everything kind of fell apart on him. I don't know many handicappers who had a successful U.S. Open. I got to think it was a dream for the sports books. Can you kind of sum up the results for DraftKings at the U.S. Open at Oakmont?
Yeah, Maddie. So it was a, no doubt about it, great success for us with J.J. Spahn coming through. Very little interest on him. I did mention on the call last week that it was probably a really short list of guys who could win it. And, you know, this the unpredictability of this course and for how difficult it was, that proved to be completely incorrect. It was a leaderboard that really no one could have predicted come Sunday and really most of the week. You know, the big names did not contend. You know, Bryson missed the cut. Rory McIlroy was just he was elsewhere, his mind not in the game. Barely made the cut, you know, shot well on the last day, but going for contention. Scottie Scheffler almost backing into this thing, played, he had a C game probably, and if he makes a couple putts, you know, he could be there in a playoff or winning this thing with far off his best game. But J.J. Spahn, no doubt about it, he was about 151. Great result for us. So really, all the guys there that were in at the end were going to be a good result for us. And Matt, you're right. I feel like I got to send Sam Burns an invoice, I think, for the last 2 weeks. I had him in the playoff 2 weeks ago.
Wow.
Didn't come through for me. Last week, he was minus 200 live after making that birdie on 10. I was starting to figure out ways to hedge this thing because he was all I had going for me. And before you knew it, he went double bogey, bogey. And, you know, credit to J.J. Spahn, birdied four last seven holes. And he took it away from all the other guys. He just kind of wilted, and he was strong down the stretch, you know, first on the week in putting. And that proved to be what you needed. That's a little bit of scrambling, and he hit those two great tee shots last two holes to secure the win.
Mac Rowe, DraftKings with us. Yeah, tough 2 weeks for Sam Burns and his betting backers. Loses in a playoff in Canada when it looked like he was going to win that tournament. Then loses the U.S. Open and slips away on the back nine when it looked like he was going to win his first major. So J.J. Spahn, former San Diego State walk-on, wins his second career PGA Tour event, and it happens to be the major. The U.S. Open is going to be life-changing for J.J. Spahn, and went off at about 150-1. Will Hill, this week the PGA Tour goes to your neighborhood out there in Connecticut, Travelers Championship in TPC River Highlands. Will, have you ever played that course?
I have not, and a lot of people in Connecticut here call it the sixth major, so excited for this. But I'm curious, Matt, because I was doing the live bet show here on VSiN Sunday, and we're tracking the odds, and it's Burns, it's Scott, it's Ortiz, it's Hatton, it's Hovland, eventually McIntyre. Spahn wasn't even really in the mix, which is weird for a guy who was leading for a lot of this tournament. He had disappeared after a bad front nine on Sunday. Do you have any idea what the live number on Sunday was? Because it was just wild trying to track all of these odds movements. And then eventually Spahn comes out of nowhere and wins the thing.
Yeah, well, great question. Is you know, for someone who's always tracking the live odds on Sundays, you know, usually I you know, got a guy or two in action. I'm looking at to potentially head some time. So you're right. He bogeyed five of the first six holes and was kind of left for dead, shot 40 in the front. And he reached up to about 30, 35-1 in the live odds with us. And we had a couple of takers at that number, but very few. And then, like I said, everyone else fell by the wayside. U.S. Open, Oakmont gobbled him up, and credit to him, he finished strong. And you know, it was tough too to hedge if you had any of these guys up top, because you know, usually when you're hedging, you might want to take one or two guys. It might come down to two or three guys who are left who have a chance to win this thing. At one point in time, there's about 7, 8, 9 guys who could still win, so that makes it really tough to hedge, just because you're kind of guessing. You know, all these guys are about 4-1, 7-1, 5-1. If you're looking to take one or two, you can't really do that. So that's kind of the situation I was put in. So I just had to ride out Sam Burns and you know, couldn't really pick out any other guys. It ended up being one from the back of the pack, and J.J. Spahn, who, like I mentioned, was about 30-1 to the turn that day.
Yeah, it's very difficult to hedge golf bets unless you have just a yes, no price. You can really dig yourself a deeper hole unless you get to a, you know, a playoff or again, you got a yes, no. It can really, really be tricky trying to navigate a hedge. But looking forward to this weekend. You know, birdies were tough to come by last weekend. Going to be a different story here up in Connecticut. Pretty easy course. What are you looking at? Any sleepers here? Anyone you've bet so far?
Yeah, guys, we've got the last elevated event of the year. Can't believe it's already been eight of these. We're up in Connecticut with the Travelers. And one of the shorter courses at TPC River Highlands and Scottie Scheffler, of course, coming off as the winner last year. As I mentioned, kind of had his C game last week, missed a ton of short putts. So if he's back in all this week, he's going to be right there again. You know, he ended up with a tied for seventh at the U.S. Open. You know, it's just surprising if he finishes outside the top 10 and even lower the top five. So he'll probably be there again. And outside that, guys, I'm having a really tough time splitting hairs between all the rest. Second favorites are Rory, Colin, and Xander, all in those mid-teens numbers. You could argue all three of those not in their best form. Actually, Colin Morikawa was last in putting at the U.S. Open last week. So he's going to have to turn that around if he expects to win anytime soon. He's usually, I think, just priced a little bit too short. Sam Burns, we mentioned, in great form, but I think that's going to be tough to recover for him mentally after the last 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. But looking a little bit farther down the board, guys, I'm interested in Jordan Spieth. I can't believe I'm saying this, but he's had some really promising numbers the last couple weeks. He's 1 year before. And of course, I think the infamous chip in from the bunker to win. And then a lot of these kind of iron specialists, guys like Lowry, Sepp Straka, Aaron Rye, Russell Henley, you can make an argument for any of these guys. So, like I said, I'm having a tough time this week, fellas, kind of figuring this one out. I think it's kind of hard to go wrong picking any of those. So, you know, with that being the case, maybe look a little bit further down the way with like a Denny McCarthy, Brian Harman, you know, guys who are maybe around that 75-80 range. And then maybe look to live add some later in the tournament. But this one, I've had a tough time handicapping this one so far, fellas. But, yeah, I think I'm going to have Jordan Spieth to start off my card this week.
Oh, we had a tough time handicapping the U.S. Open, too, so it's nothing new because I don't know anybody who had that handicapped last week. You're right, Travelers Championship this week in Connecticut. It's kind of like finding a needle in a haystack once you get past Scottie Scheffler here, right around 3-1 favorite. How about – I'll throw one at you. I was looking at some columns today from Wes Reynolds, Brady Cannon, John Hasselbauer, some of the guys who put out the golf handicapping columns. How about Ben Griffin? At 45-1, you think he's worth a shot? That seems like a player on the rise.
Yeah, I think so, Matt. He's kind of on my long list of guys too. Great current form. You know, I think we've seen that trend the last couple of years where these guys are trending up. They eventually secure a win at some point in the season. He's one of them, and he contended last week again when no one really thought he would. So why can't he keep it up?
All right, Matt Girl, save the college football topics for next week and every week after that. Okay, we got a lot of time to talk college football. this summer. I know you got some movement on the college football odds board. If you go to DraftKings website, you'll see that Grill's got the games of the year. You got a bunch of games up there, college football week zero, week one, and throughout the season. And Grill, we'll look forward to talking college football with you in the coming weeks here. With the temperatures around 110 in Vegas, I know you love golf like I do. Are you going to be out on the course tomorrow?
Not tomorrow, but
no?
In a couple days' time, Matt. Yeah, it doesn't bug me until it gets over 110.
It's about 110 right now. It's great golf weather. All right, Grill, appreciate the time tonight. Thanks, man.
Thanks, guys. Have a good night.
Matt Grill, oddsmaker at DraftKings, golf, college football. We're going to be talking a lot more college football with him going into the summer. Will, you were right, Reinhart with the goal. Panthers on top, 1-0, 10-10 to go in the first period, and we have a 4-on-4 situation in South Florida. More on the hockey game, more on baseball when we come back.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
All right, we have a lot going on right now, so let's get some updates. First on the hockey, Reinhart, Sam Reinhart, the first goal scorer tonight, 13-1 odds here at Circus Sports. Panthers get on the board first, and that's nothing new because the Panthers have scored first in this series in five straight games, outscored the Oilers 12-4 in the first period, and it's a it's four-on-four situation. Right now, I think we got a break in the action, but 4-1, Edmonton 0. Live betting at DraftKings is up to Florida minus 330. Edmonton plus 240, or you can take the Oilers plus a goal and a half at minus 115. Total 6.5, shaded under minus 135. Will Hill, any just quick observations on what we've seen here in about the first 10 minutes or so of the hockey game?
Better score next if you're Edmonton. I know they've wiped away some deficits here, but to be down 2-0, down 3-2 in the series with the cup in the building, very dangerous period here for Edmonton. You got to tie this game up. You got to be the next team to score, I would think. If you're down 2-0, we can start to talk about who's going to win the Conn Smythe. And basically, you know, the total's in play, but I don't think they're coming back from a 2-0 deficit.
Yeah, 1-0 here with 6:55 to go in the first period. And Oilers had a couple good scoring chances early. Yeah. Sergei Bobrovsky with a couple of nice saves. And Panthers do get on the board first again. 1-0, Stanley Cup Final, Game 6. All right, let's go out to Yankee Stadium, get an update. Giancarlo Stanton got a hit. And as well, as you mentioned during the break, the Yankees should have stopped the game and given him the game ball. Yankees not getting many hits at this point. Stanton has been on fire. Stanton's been on fire since he's come back. But the Yankees still can't score. They have two outs, runner on first. What are you seeing right now between Angels, Yankees, with the Angels up 3-0, bottom of the sixth?
Well, look, I mean, I know they're getting shut out, but a lot of teams have a hard time hitting Tarik Skubal. But that's not Skubal. That's Kyle Hendricks there throwing 84-mile-an-hour fastballs, basically, you know, right down the middle. I mean, it's tough. You go through these in baseball, but this is a prolonged one. Every team's going to slump. You know, what's the old saying? The best team's going to lose a third of its games and vice versa. It's the other third that matter. But, man, six runs in six games and now six runs in 6.5 games going on seven. This is about as bad a slump as you're going to see a pretty good team in ever. I mean, this is ugly, ugly stuff. And there's almost nothing worse than watching a baseball team that can't hit or is in a slump. It's just boring. It looks like they're not trying. They look flat. You can only look so energetic when you're just going 1-2-3 every inning and you're not scoring. But you and I were talking between the break. You got to have a different form of scoring. It can't just be, you know, well, we'll hit a home run at some point. They don't have anything in terms of, you know, being able to create runs, walk, manufacture runs, steal a base, anything like that. And granted, when they try to steal a base, it usually ends in bad fashion. So just a rough look here for the Yankees. You figure they're going to snap out of it at some point, but at some point can be a very dangerous way to look at it, especially if you're betting, oh, well, tonight's the night they're going to bust out of it. I'm sure people thinking that tonight would be the night against Hendricks. And if they lose tonight, people, oh, well, tomorrow they definitely have to snap out of it. You can lose a lot of money with the theory that these teams are due or some teams due to lose or due to win or due to whatever. So we'll see if the Yankees can mount a rally. Chisholm up right now, two out, 1-2 count, man on first. Hendricks probably towards the end of the rope here. He's climbing up towards 95 pitches or
97
so.
Pitches for Kyle Hendricks. Yeah. But I mean, if the Yankees can't hit him, just leave him in. Let him go 140 until the Yankees prove they can hit him. You know, well said. We just talk about this. In baseball, don't bet against the trends, right? If a team's on a losing skid, don't bet against that team to end the losing skid thinking, well, today's going to be the day that the Yankees win. But that's a dangerous way to bet baseball. You also don't want to bet against a team on a winning streak thinking, okay, they're due to lose. You could lose several bets trying to play that way. And we talked about that many times over the years, but it's always worth a reminder because even I looked at the baseball board today, Will, and said, Will Warren against Kyle Hendricks? The Yankees got to be able to hit Kyle Hendricks, right? So, but I wasn't going to play the run and a half. You think, okay, if you're going to play the Yankees, you're going to parlay it with something tonight. But it's minus 225, and that's too high a price, and it scared me off. But it's one of those situations where you're always tempted to think a good team's going to bust out of it at some point. Let's throw a tweet up we had about the Yankees' scoreless streak here. Will Warren tonight, by the way, six innings. He's got 11 strikeouts and no walks. He's on the hook for the loss right now with the Angels up 3-0. Warren's been fine. It's not like the Angels have hit him hard. Randy Miller tweeted this. The Yankees have been shut out through five tonight. haven't scored a run in 25 innings dating to the ninth inning Saturday in Boston. Will, this is their longest drought since a 33-inning scoreless streak in 2016, and that was in September. Do you remember that? Three straight shutouts.
I don't remember that. That was a weird transition phase where A-Rod retired, remember, in the middle of the season. Judge got called up. Gary Sanchez got called up, and they were sellers at the deadline, and they actually made a run. Got within like a game of the wild card where they were far enough out of it where they traded a bunch of guys. I think they traded Andrew Miller to Cleveland, and they actually played pretty well for a stretch. But that particular stretch, I do not remember.
All right, let's update more in baseball. It's not just about the Yankees tonight. There's a lot more going on. How about the Marlins on top of the Phillies? 8-3. Phillies were -170. This is over the total of 8.5. But the Phillies were big favorites. Actually opened right around $2. So there's some money. On the money in the market on the Marlins, that's in the right spot right now. 8-3, bottom eight. Nice underdog. If you got it on your parlay tonight, if you bet it straight, Marlins look like they're going to come in at a nice price. That game is now top of the ninth in South Florida. Probably not many South Florida fans watching the Marlins tonight. They're watching a hockey game instead. Yeah. Tigers, who just got pummeled by the Cincinnati Reds in the last two games of the series in Detroit, Reds outscored the Tigers 19-5. In those two wins, Tigers bouncing back tonight, 7-3. They lead the Pirates. That game's bottom of the eighth in Detroit. Somebody break up the Colorado Rockies. The Yankees can't score, but the Rockies are going wild. Rockies up 9-1 in the seventh inning tonight in D.C. against the Nationals. What do you make of this, Will Hill? The Rockies offense on a tear while the Yankees having trouble getting one run. 9 tonight for the Rockies.
Yeah, people that were just continuously playing the Rocky season win total under 50, under 45, under 40, under 30. I just keep going under. Eventually, these teams are just going to luck into some wins or fall into some wins. It's baseball. You know, you're not going to go 20-142 no matter how bad you are. So the Rockies, I think, have won like 6 of 13, something like that. Not that they're, you know, the 27 Yankees or the 79 Reds or anything like that, but they've been least respectable here the last few weeks. They've had some close losses. They've had some wins as big dogs. They came back to beat the Giants on Thursday from way behind. So, look, give them credit. They're not just one of these teams now that you can just blindly put their opponent in a money line parlay and just use it as a free spot in the bingo card like they were for the first 2+ months of the season. They've actually been somewhat competitive here the last week. So, look, it's not that they've been playing great, but when their opponent is laying $2-3 every night, they don't have to win too much to screw up your fate of them.
Hey, you're right about that. Washington -180 tonight. Rockies up 9-1. It's kind of depressing to look at the Rockies putting up runs like this and the Yankees can't score. How about this game in the NL tonight? The Mets on top of the Braves 3-0, top of the third in Atlanta. Braves went off at right around -135. And Peterson, the lefty, getting the dump tonight for the Mets. I've been impressed at times with Peterson. I don't know if you bet him much, Will, but I bet him when he shut down the Dodgers at Citi Field a few weeks ago. And Peterson right now holding the Braves down on two hits. Mets 3-0 over the Braves, bottom of the third.
Yeah, I would say important game considering it's the middle of June. Pretty important game for both teams. Braves just looking to nudge their way back into the picture here and give their front office a reason for them to be buyers or not sellers here at the deadline the next month, 6 weeks. And they've got a bunch of ground to make up. And important for the Mets for a couple reasons. They just got swept by the Rays, so the Yankees, not the only team in New York struggling. And they just lost a couple pitchers. Tyler McGill put on the IL. These pitchers go on the IL. Who knows when the hell you're going to see them again. They stay on the IL forever now. And Senga, who's always a good pitcher, but always hurt, pitching a really good game against the Nationals on Thursday, hurts his hamstring. So now they got this pitching staff that has really overachieved here. They've lost 40% of it here in the last 4 or 5 days. So the fact that Peterson so far stepped up, pitching a good game, they're going to need him. So, you know, the pitchers, when you look at the Mets and you see Griffin Canning and Peterson and all these guys that are third, fourth, fifth starters, can they really be a National League East, National League winning type of team? We'll see. Now they're dealing with some injuries on top of it.
Brewers lead the Cubs 2-1, bottom of the third at Wrigley Field. And I've got a bet on the Reds at -115. Reds right now up 4-1 on the Twins. In the bottom of the fifth, Andrew Abbott gave up a solo homer, but not much else tonight in his start for Cincinnati. Are you ready to get in on the action? First Bet has you covered. Sign up now to access exclusive promotions and bet on hundreds of thrilling horse races every day. Right from your phone or computer, visit firstbet.com. That's the number one, stbet.com. And use promo code VSIN200 to score a 20% rebate on all your wagers for the first 60 days. Up to $200. Don't miss out. Start betting today at firstbet.com. We come back. We will tip off hour number three with a Pacers-Thunder NBA Finals Game 6 preview.